a lawyer in Illinois, criminal defense lawyer, reacted to his client's arrest as part of a undercover sting operation, a drug buy, by posting on YouTube video from this that he claimed showed that his client was framed, that this was a setup, and that drugs had been planted. He probably should have taken a much closer look at the video before he posted it, because in fact, it incriminated his client. He was later suspended by the Illinois bar for his activities in doing that. And then there are lawyers who have actually been disbarred for what have been characterized as social media blitzes. In the paper, I reference two cases, both out of Louisiana. One in 2015 involving a family lawyer named Joyce McCool, or I should say ex-lawyer, because she's been disbarred. She was unhappy with the rulings of several family court judges, and so she went on Facebook and Twitter and other platforms to attack the judges, host an online petition to remove the judges from office. Her problem, among others, was not just the vitriol that she used, but also including and posting documents that were under seal in those custody proceedings. For what they characterized as a social media blitz, the Louisiana Supreme Court disbarred her. And just a few months ago, in late 2018, another Louisiana attorney was disbarred. He had been an assistant U.S. attorney, and he was posting online under a pseudonym. Didn't do much good to hide. You know, you can't stay anonymous on the internet forever. But he was posting about pending investigations and pending cases and just sharing all kinds of details about cases, and he wound up being disbarred just a few months ago. And for goodness sake, don't be like the lawyer in Iowa who went on Facebook and called his client an idiot and a terrible criminal. Number one, if you're a criminal defense attorney, that really doesn't do much for that whole presumption of innocence thing, right? And it's really death to a case that you happen to be defending to do that during this. So lawyers have done some very stupid things on social media and at horrible, horrible times. You might also put yourself in the position of creating what the Washington, D.C. Legal Ethics Committee has called a positional conflict. You may not be posting on something that you consider to be related to the case. You may think that you're posting just on in response to something in the news, or you know, a matter that you're exercising your First Amendment rights on. But it could reflect adversely on something that your client or your law firm's client has taken a different position on. So, you know, for example, there was a lawyer with a big firm, big national firm, who posted some comments that were critical of Native Americans in the wake of news coverage of a healing ceremony that was held after the Gabby Giffords, Congresswoman Gabby Giffords shooting. And they had a number of faiths represented, including a Native American shaman. He posted some very ugly comments directed towards Native Americans. It probably wasn't the best of ideas because his law firm represented a number of tribal nations, both in lobbying and in practice groups. They even had a Native American practice group at the firm, and he had Native American partners who were not terribly wild about what he had posted. Not coincidentally, he no longer works for that law firm. So you have to be careful about what you're posting when it might conflict with a stance that a client that you or your law firm is representing has already publicly taken. So this all leads to the question, well, what can we say about our cases on social media? What can we say about them generally? Well, we've gotten some guidance from the U.S. Supreme Court with regard to what lawyers can say generally about their cases. The Supreme Court in the Gentile versus State Bar of Nevada case in which they generally, it was kind of a mixed bag for lawyers, they generally upheld certain limits that state bars would impose, but said that state bars needed to provide fair notice to lawyers in their rules about what they could say. And in this decision, a 5-4 decision, former Justice Sandra Day O'Connor was the swing vote, said that the First Amendment trumps bar rules regarding trial publicity if the statements concern the general nature of the claim or defense in the case. Now, in the underlying facts of this case, Gentile, a prominent criminal defense lawyer, had called a news conference, probably on the courthouse steps, and among other things, made statements calling the police department crooked, referred to a number of witnesses as liars, and accused a police officer of actually committing the crime for which his client had been indicted. So, pretty extreme. This was not just a no comment or, you know, we anticipate having our day in court, you know, sort of innocuous comments. This was pretty, pretty extreme. But as long as you are sticking to comments related to the general nature of the claims or defense in the case, you're okay.